Hi, everybody. Welcome. I'll give you all a minute to pile in. Hi, Janae. I know I say all of our classes are one of my favorite classes, but this one might be my most favorite class for real. Today we're going to be looking at supporting clients through the myth of perfection. Before we do, a couple of logistical pieces that I want to mention. The first is I'm really excited. I saw that so many of you have been registering for the workshop training that I'm going to be holding next Wednesday on September 14th, the Transform the Room workshop. I'm excited for those of you that are going to be there, that have been called to be there. I'm just so excited that you're going to be there. You're going to love all that we go through. Some of it is related to what we learn in Sacred Depths, but there are a lot of departures because we're going to be looking specifically through the lens of facilitating and leading groups and workshops and events. I wanted to just let all of you know, for those of you that are coming to that event, that at the end of, at some point in the 4 hours, towards the end, I'm going to be sharing about a longer training called Into the Depths. That's all about ritual, ceremony, group somatic exercises, group facilitation, curriculum development, holding groups, all of the things. So I'm going to be sharing about that towards the end of that workshop. If you are in this group in Sacred Depths, you have a special rate on that. I'm not going to be sharing that publicly next Wednesday, but if it's something that you're interested in, I'll be sharing you special rates and numbers that are just for you. It is one of the offerings that I'll be sharing with this whole group when we come together. What's the date? On October 6th at 1 Eastern. Hopefully you have it in your calendars. We'll be sending out emails, but on October 6th at 1 Eastern, I'll be sharing different ways for us to continue working together if that's something that you would like to do. So anyway, that just so you know, because you'll be hearing information and numbers next week, etc., but you all get special numbers on that. Yeah, Into the Depths is going to be in 2023. It starts in January. Okay, I wanted to make sure that I shared that. The other thing that I wanted to make sure that I shared is that at this point in the program, we're gonna start picking up the pace a bit. Things are gonna we're gonna move through things. I mean, I'm gonna give things space for sure, but we've got if you can believe it, we've got only like 8 weeks left, and there's still a lot that I'm gonna be sharing with you over the next 8 weeks. I like to start really slow, really get the foundational pieces down, and then we start accelerating. I'm noting this for a couple of reasons. Number one, because you're gonna take in so much, you're gonna have opportunity to practice with your partners. We're gonna be integrating in lots of different ways, and this is an important and, you're not gonna integrate all of it by the time we're done with Sacred Depths. And that is a good thing. I always like to say what we learn in Sacred Depths is kind of like time release capsule, you know, and like you take a pill and there's that time release capsule. It does what it needs to do. The medicine is there right away, but then it kind of like keeps on delivering and delivering and delivering. Especially because we're looking at myth of perfection today. Do not apply any myth of perfection to this training. You are getting everything that you need. And then, I mean, it feels funny to say because this is my training, but I'm just going to say it. And then it is the gift that keeps on giving. You will go deeper and deeper and deeper into your mastery as you practice and just as you continue to work through the material. That being said, of course, as always, as it's been since we began, please ask questions in between sessions. I want to get your needs met in all the ways that I can. The other piece on all of this, and I think I mentioned this at some point, maybe a month ago to you, but I'll just say it again. Sacred Depths is definitely a marathon program. It's not a sprint. We are getting to sort of starting to get to the home stretch a little bit. Continue to stay strong. Of course, there are moments when we're more present, there are moments when we're less present. That is normal, 100%. But finish strong. End the program in the ways that you want to end the program. If that means recommitting to your presence, to your homework, to your practice, to asking more questions, to going back and listening maybe to some sessions that you missed, whatever it is, you get to recommit in any moment. Or new commit in any moment. Are any questions on any of that before we dive in? No? Okay. Also, I realized the other piece I wanted to share is I made a part two to the rewiring negative thought pattern session that we did last week. It was good and important. So if you haven't yet listened to it, it's there for you in your member center. It should have already been there in the middle of last week. I made it, I think, the next day. And if you have any questions on that recording after you listen to it, please just reach out and let me know. All right, let me turn a light on. So, supporting clients through the myth of perfection. Let's start here. What is perfectionism? I mean, there's so many different ways that we can define perfectionism, and this is how I'll define it for the work that we're going to be looking at today. It can be the need to get it totally and utterly right. That can be perfectionism. Or here's another way that we can understand perfectionism: not being happy or settled or satisfied unless it's absolutely perfect. Not being happy or settled or satisfied, unless it's absolutely perfect. Or here's another way that we can also understand it: being in fight or flight if it's not totally right or as you expected it to be. Going into fight or flight, fawn. If it's not totally right as you expect it to be. If your survive in other words, if your survival instincts start kicking up because you've got this magical thinking that if it's just right, then it can safeguard you from disaster. We can also understand perfectionism as when we judge ourselves or others harshly if it's not perfect, if we've got that judgment thing going on, if it's not perfect. I can tell you that I am no stranger to perfectionism. It is something that has been with me for as long as I can remember. And it is something that I have worked on, and it is something that I continue to work on. Yeah, and Amy's saying in the chat, it's helpful for me to think of perfectionism as a tenet of white supremacy. Absolutely. We're gonna get there, Amy. For sure. A tenet of white supremacy, of patriarchy, capitalism, absolutely. So I know perfectionism very well, and I could share with you many, many, many stories. We would be on the line for many days if I would share with you my stories, but I want to just share one or two that really illustrate how perfectionism can be an obstacle in our lives. And then just look at a couple of different ways that perfectionism can really become an obstacle. So, first, I'll just share about my first website. So, my very first business, I had a business partner, Dawn. Incidentally, we're both Virgos, which have a lot of perfectionist tendencies. And this was back, 20 years ago. And we were starting our business and we wanted to put together a website. Well, she was perfectionist, I was perfectionist. We wrote the copy for the website and then proceeded to take over a year to go back and correct it, to edit it, to pick one logo and then decide that logo wasn't good enough and ask the graphic designer to then improve it this way and improve it that way. And the months went on and on and on and on. And it took us so much longer than it needed to in order to launch that website. It caused a lot of stress for us because of that perfectionism, shame in not getting it out into the world, and really holding back, in some ways, holding back our business. Yeah, Sarah's saying she has no idea what I'm talking about. Yeah, I'm sure nobody does. So that's more of a dramatic example of perfectionism and how it can be an obstacle. And then I'll also share just less dramatically, and this is something that I've worked on a lot, but it's something that I continue to work on. My perfectionism impacts me in subtle ways in my everyday life, like finishing teaching a class. Knowing that overall it was amazing, but then hooking into the like one or two things that maybe didn't go the way that I wanted it to go and getting caught in that, right? Now I've gotten so much better at that over the years. It doesn't impact me as much. Sometimes I'm even able to walk out of a workshop and just be like, and that was good, and not focus on the things that were imperfect every now and again, right? But I just say, like, no myth of perfection here either. On the myth of perfection, I am still working on these pieces myself, and I think that it is a very, very worthwhile cause. So, when we get caught in perfectionism and our clients get caught in perfectionism, it can hold us back from actually getting things done that we could be getting done. Sometimes when we get caught in perfectionism, things end up taking much longer than they need to take. Sometimes when we get caught in perfectionism, we get obsessed almost in fixing unnecessary details instead of moving things forward. In some more extreme cases, when we get caught in perfectionism, we might just abandon ship altogether, stop showing up, just feel in our judgment or in our shame and just give up. Sometimes when we get caught in perfectionism, it can rob us of our confidence. Sometimes when we get caught in perfectionism, we might be get it done people, so we get it done, but we just self-judge a lot. Perfectionism can show up in any area of life, work, creativity, relationships, parenting. Friendships, sex life, appearance, even, and I know it has, even for some of you here in Sacred Depth. So I haven't been doing the program perfectly. I haven't been showing up in all the ways that I intended to show up when I started, right? All right, so let's pause here for a moment and I'll ask a couple questions. On a scale of 1 to 10, how perfectionist are you? 10 is like extreme perfectionism, 1, not so much. And it might be different in each area in your life too, right? It is for me. On a scale of 1 to 10, how perfectionist are you if you were to assess yourself? Seven, seven, eight. Amy said it, nine. Yeah. Yeah. 10. Yep. Yeah, it's a thing. Where are the places that your perfectionism tends to come up pretty persistently? Where are the places where your perfectionism tends to come up pretty persistently? Randa's saying at work and parenting. Tina's saying in my work and in my cooking. Thank goodness I don't have perfectionism with my cooking. Parenting, coaching, when I do things for other people. Yeah. Yeah. Appearance. I'm seeing a lot of work. Appearance. My online presence, Alta's saying. Speaking, listening, projects, yep. Yep. Some places when I am seen or visible to strangers, Sarah's saying yes. Cleaning, I'm seeing some cleaning here, yep. Parenting. Yeah. Caretaking, yes. Group work. Okay. Now here's another thing I want to invite you to consider. When you think about your perfectionism, what is not so helpful about it, but also what is helpful about it, right? Because nothing is black or white. My perfectionism, when it is, not extreme, has been helpful for me in certain ways. It is part of what allows me to hold space for excellence. Now, not when it's in the extreme, right? But what has been helpful about your perfectionism and what has been not so helpful about your perfectionism? Annalisa sing, I don't slack. Yeah. Nell sing similar, put a lot of effort in. Yes, and you do things well. Janae is saying, I learn a ton because of the impact of perfectionism. Yeah, and not so helpful being super critical and affecting confidence. Alta saying, I create quality content, mindful about what I say. Yeah, I love that you're adding that in too. I agree with that. Not so helpful spending hours drafting three paragraphs. Yes. Barbara's perfectionism, it is very helpful for proofreading and editing other people's work, but it can get in the way there too. Also, yeah. Yeah, good. These are great. Procrastination, yep. Put on a, we're going to talk about that. AJ putting on a face of anti-perfectionism, yeah, good. All right, complete. We're going to play complete the sentence. Being perfect will save me from. Being perfect will save me from. I'll give you maybe a half minute to write on that. Being perfect will save me from. So a lot of shares in the chat. Thank you for sharing. And let's just pause for a moment and take in how much we're putting onto the need to be perfect. All right, one more complete the sentence. My parents, and if parents don't work for this statement for you, you can insert someone else into this. My parents expected me to be perfect by. My parents or someone else expected me to be perfect by. So Cecil, what in what ways did your parents expect you to be perfect? Whether it was spoken or unspoken. And I'm going to open up for some voice-to-voice shares in a moment. I've got one more question first. Who in your life do you expect perfection or near perfection from, maybe without even realizing it? Who are you holding to too high standards? Who in your life do you expect perfection or near perfection from without even realizing it? Who are you holding to too high standards? And this is not to judge yourself, right? This is just for awareness. I catch myself often with John. Just I've gone to that place of expecting, just the standard is too high. I'm expecting perfection from him. I go there also with my business a lot as an entity. Ugh, it wasn't perfect, so it's worthless. It's failing, right? And by the way, a subset of perfectionism is expecting that growth, transformation or any kind of accomplishment is gonna be neat and linear instead of messy and cyclical. A subset of perfectionism is the expectation that growth or transformation or any kind of accomplishment is gonna be neat and linear instead of messy and cyclical. Okay. Let's pause here. I so appreciate all of the sharing in the chat, and I'd love to hear a couple of your voices. What are you seeing so far that's feeling really important? What are you seeing so far that's feeling really important? Annalise.
Wow, this is actually creating quite a big emotional response. I think as women, we have a societal push towards this. We carry the last generation perfectionism of being perfect mothers and perfect housewives. And so, caring about our husband and making cakes and making the family happy. And this generation of, women that are emancipated, that, change the world and this and that. So we have a double start. It's already difficult to fulfill one of this, let alone because you can't be a perfect mother, a perfect partner, perfect, perfect house. And then on the other side, to be perfect manager and perfect, professional and perfect everything. And I've just carried with me all of this, both of them. And they're just like at the moment, just exploding inside me. And yes, I am, relatively successful. I'm not such a bad mom. And, probably I don't know if I'm a good wife. Probably I'm not. But I just feel for all of us. I really do.
I know it's hard to bring up all of the awareness, and you just really want to honor how hard that is. And also honor, tell me if I'm getting this right, what I think I heard you say is that you're seeing that it doesn't have to be true, that so much of that has been put upon you, but that
Yeah.
doesn't have to be true.
You know, Joanne, I don't cook very well.
Did you say?
Okay. Nothing, I'm okay. No, it's fine. I'm okay. I'm on a call. I'm okay.
It's just mine.
It's fine. All fine, baby. It's only, oh, it's all okay. Honestly, it's fine. It's fine. Honestly, it's
Mama.
okay, Jacob. I'm on a call with so many people. That's
Can
okay.
they hear me?
Yeah, they can. So I love you very much. I love you.
No.
I'm sorry.
Oh, no need to apologize. Would it be okay to just connect in with your body for a moment? Yeah. Okay, when you connect in with your heart, and is it okay to put a hand on your heart? Yeah, just connect in with your heart. Connect in with your beautiful heart. Yeah. What is it that your heart really wants you to know right now?
That it's actually not my fault that all the I struggle and sometimes I drop things off and then I feel useless because I put so much on my plate. I try to do millions of things. And then something, of course, if you put too much on your plate, something drops off. And then I feel shit because I have missed a client appointment or I've missed. I'm sorry, Alta, we missed the call last week. I just wasn't. It's just been sometimes too much. And it's okay that sometimes I drop things, and actually, I think I should just put less on my plate, and that's it. And I cook, you know, I don't want to cook.
Yeah, I'm with you. I don't want to cook either. So, you just said so many important things, Annalise, and one of the things that I just heard you say is that it's okay. It's okay when I don't do everything. What's the part of you, if you could name the part of you that knows that it's okay when you drop things, what's that part of you?
Is that little girl that was required to be so mature and so independent and so understanding of everyone's needs and being treated very sufficiently and being left on her own on the first day of school, or just because my mom went away for, you know, a year and then plus even more. And it was fine for me not to complain and just get along with life and be good at
So
school and be great and perfect.
is that the part of you that knows it's okay if you drop the ball?
Yeah, that little girl is just like, I mean, it's me comforting her because she's little, but actually, I think she is. I wish she could understand that now. And it's probably that part of me that is still her, but I don't want her to be like that.
So you get to give to her what adults in your life didn't give her, which is this wisdom and this knowing that it's okay, that she doesn't have to be a superwoman or a supergirl or perfect, right? What is it that you really want her to know? Like from your heart to hers, what is it that you really want her to know?
That I love her. I really do.
Would it be okay for you to take a moment and just really let her feel that? What else do you want her to know?
And she's bloody amazing. She's a ball of energy, of empathy, and she lights people's life, and she's got so much, such a beautiful energy. If she just flows with it, flows with whatever it is, without just striving all the time.
How would it feel to write her a letter later today or tomorrow? I know you're really busy. It doesn't have to take a lot of time, 5, 10 minutes. But how would it feel to write her a letter and just really continue down this new pathway that you're creating for her and let her know all of this?
I think it feels really good. I already feel her in me, just smiling and thanking you and, everyone here, because all the energy that you are giving me at the moment is priceless. And yeah.
I'm so glad. And I love that your kiddo came into the camera for a little bit. It was like almost like a sign, like, look at your little kiddo too, right? So
Yeah.
sweet. So glad they came in.
Yeah. Yeah, very sweet.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Everyone, deep breath in. How lucky are we that we get to witness and just hold space and be together for things like this? Barbara.
I just want to honor you, Annalise, and all the vulnerability that you shared. And I could see in the chat how it resonated with so many. And my share is kind of more broad spectrum. I mean, of course, it applies to me, but I don't want to rush from that energy. I really see how this perfectionism just plays out in our culture so much, and how we get rewarded for, and some of us get rewarded for that perfectionist behavior, where we, put in an extra 2 hours every day at work, or we have the house that could be seen on, some Beautiful Homes magazine, or we get the straight A's. That means we get to go to the college or get a scholarship, and the definitely women, the expectations for the way that women are supposed to be perfect are even higher, and in so many more spheres than how men are supposed to be perfect. And I don't know, this just pops in, like, I got a lot of this perfectionism from my mom, who got it from her dad, and he was a proofreader at a newspaper. He read the ads before they went in to, and I'm sure he was a perfectionist, as his that was his energy anyway. And I've been like trying to think about, oh, I'm not a perfectionist. And then I'm like, I criticize my wife for not loading the dishwasher right. Right? Like, what the
I'm with
heck?
you.
And
No,
that's a
and
perfectionist, you know?
yes. Yes, and what you're saying is so important, and it relates to what Amy was sharing in the chat earlier. This is baked into predominant culture. This is baked into white supremacy. This is baked into capitalism. This is baked into patriarchy. We're getting these messages that it's perfectionist or it has to be perfect or bust all the time that we don't even realize how soaked in we are with that messaging. And part of this supporting ourselves and our clients with myth of perfection work is about undoing that messaging that came from our parents, but came from the greater culture that they seeped in. It's so embedded. And that's why this is like, to me, this work is personal work, but it's also community work and society work. It's so important. Yeah, thank you for sharing all of that. Randa.
As Annalise was speaking, it definitely triggered and some of the questions that you've brought up today about family and where does that come from, the expectation or the perfectionism thing. And the word perfect is it used to be a massive trigger for me. Growing up in a family with an immigrant father who worked really hard to get to this country, got to like live up to that standard, and I actually respect that that is worth it. Work ethic was drilled into me, but at home, my dad dealt with OCD, and that controlled our lives. So when my mom wasn't doing things in the right order, there would be anger and there'd be conflict, and then I would end up judging her and just instead just stepping in and trying to make the peace. So that I just became this quiet little mouse around the house who tried to make things perfect for him, for what he needed. And then I got acknowledgement for that. And that was, I hated it, absolutely hated it. And the same with school, doing too well in school, I got called out. So I ended up hiding that piece. And learning to not have expectations of others and not allowing others to see, you know, that I was getting good grades and I was doing amazing in every other way, to the point of it just being like I showed up as much as the bad girl as I could possibly do to de-shine the image. And then at the end, showing up on the dean's list as I graduated and everyone was drop-jawed, being like, but you skipped class and you never showed up for this. And you and my sister and brother were even shocked to that point. And I didn't realize until then that I had hidden it so much because I hated the words. Even a partner of mine was borderline personality disorder, and he was like, you're perfect, and he hated it about me. So that word is just like this mixed up mess of grossness that is like, I'm not. And I strongly agree with there's no such thing. And aspiring for that is damaging.
100%, 100%. Thank you for sharing. It can feel the layers of how all of this has impacted you and how you've navigated it. And
Still navigating.
are still navigating because no myth of perfection with perfection. Thank you.
Yeah, you're welcome. Thanks.
And I'll take one more share, Kelly.
Yeah, just a brief one. And just to say first, I can relate so much with every piece that has been shared. These just feel like so deeply to be collective tendencies. And I like honoring all of what's come before and been shared. And I think the awareness that I'm having right now is just, I've been feeling as we've done this move, like my own perfectionist tendencies and how much has gotten in the way and how exhausting it is. And I'm hearing in the shares too, just this concept of like when we are constantly striving to be better or to be more perfect, like it leads to exhaustion, it leads to overwhelm, it leads to burnout, and there's not space for anything when you're never enough. And just like, again, because my lens is always through the nervous system, it's like it doesn't allow space for authenticity because we're always seeking to do this. Now, this is more my shamanic lens, but this like shape shifting to make things work for those around us. And that is incredibly isolating and alienating. And when I think of it like from this healing frame, I'm just sort of like, wow, this really gets in the way because it keeps us from being able to step into community and into connection, which is essential for well-being. And that these tendencies can just lead us into that place of not being able to connect in ways that feel authentic, which are ways that settle our nervous system, which totally impacts the collective. So I'm just having this awareness as I'm reflecting for myself, but also just hearing everyone else.
Yeah, yes to everything you just said. So, so well said. And I'll also just add to that how social media accelerates of all of this too, right? It's just, we're scrolling and scrolling and seeing the perfect curation of people's lives and stories instead of the mess that we all have behind it, right? Okay, let's keep on going. So as Randa said, perfectionism is not, it's just impossible. It is a myth. There is no, or it's not, I shouldn't say perfectionism is a myth. Perfection is a myth. It is impossible. As human beings, we cannot achieve perfection. Perfection is only for the gods. And even then, maybe not even, right? So in some ways, we are like stepping a little bit into a god complex when we get stuck in perfectionism. For another thing, who exactly has set these standards of perfection? You know, in our culture, right? Back to white supremacy, back to corporate gain, right? Back to patriarchy. Who has set these standards? And how do these standards of perfection uphold societal power structures? I get chills as I say that. When we get stuck in the myth of perfection, we're actually engaged in black or white thinking. And what it looks like, whether we realize it or not, is some version of this. Perfection is on one end and failure is at the other. And when we get stuck in perfectionist thinking, those are the only two things that exist. I am either perfect, this project is either is perfect, I look perfect, or I am an utter failure. It is utterly a failure, black or white thinking. When we get stuck in perfectionism, there is no middle ground between perfection and failure. And what often happens, and check this out for yourself, is that we do this ping pong game. We strive for perfection. I'm gonna be perfect. I'm gonna be perfect. I'm gonna be perfect. And then we don't get there because we can't be perfect. Nothing can be perfect. And so then we slam back to, I'm a failure, I'm a failure, I'm a failure, I'm a failure. And then maybe we move out of it. It's going to be perfect. 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 It doesn't happen. And we get slammed back. No, nothing in between. But here's the thing. Real life and reality is the in-between. The perfection and failure doesn't, utter failure doesn't exist either. That's not real either. Real life, reality, and that's not, by the way, it's not mediocre what's in between. It's actually where all of the gold and the beauty and the realness, and as Kelly said, the authenticity of life is. Y'all with me? Anybody wanna, we still have a lot to look at today, but anybody wanna just share what is feeling really important here? What are you seeing? Alta.
Hi. I hope it's okay to keep my camera off. Talking about perfection. I look crazy.
You look beautiful. Great to see you.
So what this is landing for me as I'm listening to this part of it, it makes me think of, I'm just so happy it came up because it makes me think of my program Sacred Heart, which is for moms and their preteen daughters. And I launched it in the spring and had all these visions and ideas for what it was going to be. And then summer happened and everyone started not coming. And I started like, oh my God, what am I doing wrong? Is it bad? How did I fail? And I really contemplated not launching another round and just like throwing the whole thing in the trash. It didn't work. It wasn't what I wanted. But I launched it anyways this week. I launched round two. I pushed myself to send out the email and I invited everyone who was in round one to come back and do round two with me and finish it all the way. And I didn't see how that was perfectionism. And in this very moment, that was perfectionism at a 10, where it's not the first time I've ever wanted to walk away from something because it didn't go exactly how I thought. And I did assume it was failure. So yeah, I was proud.
Yeah, I'm so glad you can see how you kind of did that ping pong. And also I'm glad that you moved out of it and relaunch. That's awesome.
Thank you. That is amazing.
Thank you, Tina. And then we're gonna continue.
Hi, Joanna. I think one of the things that came to the forefront of my mind when I was listening to you speak was, and you can do like 9 things perfect and then make one big mistake. And everybody will remember you for the one big mistake. And I think that's like a big contributing factor to what's beneath a lot of perfectionism, because people harp on the one thing you did wrong. And it's just, I don't know. I would love to find a way to restructure that somehow. It's just, I think that's a big part of it.
Yeah, I hear you. And I know that that is the case for a lot of people. And I want to challenge you that it's always like, I know you didn't say it's always like that, but I want to challenge you that, and tell me if I'm getting this right, I'm hearing in some of what you're saying that, and those are the people that you're surrounded with. And so that's how it has to be. And similar to what we were looking at last week, I want to challenge you on some of the assumptions or story that you're making there. You there, Tina?
Yeah, I'm sorry. I'm on my iPad, which is harder to operate with my finger. So what is it that you want me to do right now? I know you're challenging me, but to...
So in what you just shared, and again, I hear you, because I know I grew up in a household with folks that were just looking for the one thing that's not perfect. So I absolutely hear you on it. The invitation is to look at what is real and what is story about the conclusions that you're drawing from that.
And do you want me to just think about it on my own or just say it out loud
yeah.
right now?
Yeah, no, just for because of time, I'm going to ask you to do it for homework, okay. But I'd love to hear what you come up with.
Okay, great. Thank you. I will.
Does that land for you?
Yeah, I will definitely. I mean, I think the reality comes from hearing other people and how they speak about other people.
Yes. So there are some realities there, right? And you can even make 2 columns, like what is real about this, but then what are some of the stories that you're making up about it too?
Okay. Thanks.
let's see what comes through for that.
All right, thank you.
Thank you. All right. Where in, I'll just ask everybody to think about this for a moment. Where in your life are you engaging in binary thinking or black or white thinking? So, for example, I'm either rich or I'm poor. I'm either beautiful and sexy or I'm disgusting. I'm a success. I'm either a success or a failure. I've either got spaciousness or I have no time at all. I'm either healthy or I'm super sick. I'm an amazing practitioner or I'm the worst practitioner that ever was. Where are you engaging in some binary thinking? I'd love if you want to share some examples in the chat. Where are some of the places? These are the places where clients engage in binary thinking as well. Carla's saying, I just remembered that my parents would criticize or punish our failures, but say very little about our successes. Yeah. Where does binary thinking show up? Cecil is saying that my son will be emotionally neglected if I don't show up emotionally intelligent 100% of the time. Yeah. AJ is saying, I make a black and white of where I fit in a made up hierarchy of my surroundings. I know that one, yes. Amy's saying, I realize I don't go all the way to failure. I'm either the best or mediocre, which is even worse than failure for you. That's a great awareness, Amy. Sophie Jane is saying, my husband is the best. I feel so safe with him. Then why is he being such a jerk? He doesn't care about me. I have no idea what you're talking about. Okay. So yeah, Ayana's saying, I tend to swing in extremes in thoughts and feelings. Yeah, in all of those areas. Yeah. Okay, so hopefully now we have we could spend weeks and weeks on this, but a little bit more of an understanding of how perfectionism shows up, how it can show up for our clients, what is operating when it does. So how can we work with the myth of perfection? Well, number one, it always starts with energetics. So first, energetic piece, check your own perfectionism filters, which we've started to do today, right? So energy follows energy. If we, as the practitioner, have an unchecked filter around perfectionism, let's say like what a partnership is supposed to look like, or what a successful launch is supposed to look like, or what a successful parenting is supposed to look like. If we've got any perfectionism going on in there and we haven't checked that filter, we're not aware of it, it's going to show up in our client sessions. It's going to show up in our expectations in our client sessions, right? So we want to check our own filters around that. The other piece, we could put it under energetics, that is so important, and hopefully you see how I model this for you, is modeling imperfection for our clients. Imperfection along with, and it's okay, right? There are, and you know, there's so many things, particularly in today's class, where I'm like getting up on my soapbox, and I'll just like for a second, but I'll just say like there are too many internet marketers, coaches, leaders out there who just present to their communities and in their marketing as perfect, as everything is perfect, everything is going well. You know, maybe I made that mistake in the past, but then I did this and I got over it, and like magically it's right. Like there's so many ways that perfectionism is modeled in the coaching and transformational industries, and it hurts our clients and our communities when we don't reveal that we are imperfect and that it is okay to be imperfect. That makes sense? Okay. From there, creating awareness, such an important tool when it comes to working with the myth of perfection, right? And go back to our creating awareness module. You can use a number of the tools that we learned there, right? So you can reflect in order to create awareness. My sense is that your perfectionism is showing up a bit right now, right? That's an example of reflection. Or reflecting hard truths. I notice sometimes that when you feel under pressure, your perfectionism starts to show up. Or even consulting. Remember that facting consulting as a creating awareness tool. Sometimes I have to say to a client, you know, I think that might be an unrealistic expectation to be able to launch that program in 3 weeks. Randa's asking, would you use that wording, your perfectionism is showing up? It's such a great question. So it completely depends on the client. Always coach the what based on the who. If we've looked at perfectionism before, and it's a word that lands for them, absolutely I will. And I will sometimes use it even if we haven't, you know, gone deeper yet and looked at it. But if we know that that's, like for you, Randa, that's a word that is maybe not so helpful, you know, you might say it in different ways for sure. You can also, as you know, use your questioning skills to create awareness. So, for example, I might ask a client, if I see that some of their perfectionism is creeping in, what would be acceptable here for you if it didn't have to be absolutely perfect? Or what would perfectionism look like in this scenario? And then what would realistic and acceptable look like in this scenario? Sometimes if you know that there's someone that your client loves and wouldn't hold to a standard of perfection, you can ask a question like, well, what would you expect of X person in this scenario? An exercise that I really, Elaine is saying, I might say the perfectionism rather than your, to detach, to start to dismantle the sense of ownership, yeah, and labeling. I love that, Lane. Thanks for sharing that. That's great. another exercise that I love is I'll sometimes ask a client for homework. We may not do it in a session, though every now and again we will. But sometimes I'll ask, whether it's in a session or homework, I'll invite the client to make three columns. Column one is perfect and unrealistic. Column two is ideal. And column three is truly good enough. And whatever situation we're looking at, I'll have them fill out for themselves what's perfect and unrealistic in this situation, what is ideal in this situation, and then what is truly good enough in this situation. It is can be a really valuable and effective way of supporting a client cognitively to really pull out from the perfectionism and see the unrealistic standards that they've been holding themselves to, and then also start to vision and strategize and get comfortable in the realistic. Yeah, Randa, perfect and unrealistic. That's one column, ideal, and then truly good enough. So for example, maybe if the situation is client sessions, right? So maybe truly good enough is my clients feel seen and loved by me. My clients are learning how to access their own wisdom, inner wisdom and self-leadership, and they're moving forward on their goals, even if slowly. Maybe that's truly good enough. Maybe ideal is I'm knocking a lot of sessions out of the park. There's real deep learning that's happening. My clients are really working on their resistance and their blocks, even though they still get snagged a lot of the time, but creative solutions and action taking are happening. Maybe that's ideal. Maybe perfect and unrealistic is I knock every session out of the park. I bring my clients to their knees every single time. Even if a little resistance comes up, we get over it in a day, you know, in like a quick session, and there's consistent growth without plateaus or setbacks. When I go into my perfectionist thinking, that's where I go for me, right? Another question that can sometimes help create awareness around perfectionism is who or what systems standards does this reflect, or who or what cultures, standards, does this reflect? Another way that I often will create awareness is actually preemptively when I'm working with a client at the outset of a new project or a new whatever they're going, even a conversation that they want to have. You know, I might drop just like, and it's like, it's not going to be perfect, right? It's like, we're looking at what is the ideal here, but in any event, no launch is perfect. No conversation is perfect, etc. All right, let me pause here. There's still a bit more that I want to share today, but any thoughts, sparks, questions around the energetic pieces that I spoke to, or creating awareness around the perfectionism or perfectionist tendencies. No, all of that's clear? Okay. Kelly.
I just am having this thought right now about how it, all of these shares and what's being shared in the chat and what's been shared too are just so helpful to see all the ways it shows up. And I'm realizing it's so invisible the way it gets created. Like nobody's going around saying you're supposed to be perfect. I mean, that's not true. A lot of things are said like you're supposed to be perfect, but it's so insidious and it's so deep. And so it becomes this like sneaky monster that can get under the surface and really impact our behavior. And part of like bringing it out into the open and creating the awareness and even like, you know, putting names to it is so powerful, because then we can actually address it when we can call it something and we can acknowledge it. Like just the amount of emotion that's flowing today, like I'm feeling it, so many people are feeling it, and I'm just kind of blown away. I'm like, oh yeah, but many are sharing these things that don't involve someone saying you're supposed to be perfect, but it's so there, like in all of what's been shared. So I'm just kind of sitting here with my jaw open.
Yeah, absolutely. That's what I was saying. Like it's baked in. It is baked in. And now, like this work isn't just the personal work. It is the society work, and absolutely the naming it, and also the normalizing. Again, like the normalizing that life is messy and we are messy and it doesn't always turn out the way it's supposed to. And then the second time it often doesn't turn out the way it's supposed to. And then sometimes the third time it just, right? Like normalizing all of that is such a service to our clients and to their well-being and to them being able to ultimately reach their goals, because it helps, poke holes in the shame around not being perfect, which as a society we all carry. AJ. You there, AJ? I can't hear you if you're talking, AJ. No, not working. Okay. I'm going to take one more share for now, Barbara. There's still a bunch of things I want to share. So, Barbara. And then I'll open up in the end, too.
Thank you. I really want to speak to that insidiousness that we experience that Kelly was talking about, and that I can like have that looking at somebody else and see their imperfection and think for some reason it just doesn't quite apply to me. Like that it's okay that XYZ happened and that person had three business failures, but heck no. I mean, and that somebody mentioned in the chat earlier that I think there is definitely a really strong religious aspect to it. And I just, yeah, that's part of many of our cultures. And yeah,
absolutely. And I'd say like sometimes also it's the flip. I mean, I know for myself, sometimes I'm like, they can be imperfect, but I can't. But then in other moments, I'm like, oh, why are they doing, right? Where I'm giving myself that slack, but not the other person. Yeah. AJ.
Trying again. You got me?
Yeah.
Okay. My question is around bringing awareness, creating awareness when there are real a belief that perfection is the goal, perfection is the need in such and such situation. Where that phrase, perfection is the enemy of good or something like that.
Yeah, I forget what that phrase is, but
I'm thinking specifically of someone who is a couple of people I know who are like, that is awful and wrong and lowers standards and keeps people from rising to greatness.
Yeah. It's a toughie. So, you know, it depends on the context and the situation, but there are a couple of ways that you can approach it. And even before I share that, I also want to say, like, we can't ever change clients' minds. Oh, I just lost you, AJ. Can you just say hello. So I see you.
Hello, I'm still here.
There you are. You know, also just want to say, like, we can't change anybody's mind either, right? Like, clients have to be open to wanting to see things differently. But that being said, we can use so many of the tools that we've already looked at in the program. So oftentimes when there's such a clinging to it has to be perfect, there can be a fear in there, right? So supporting a client to see, like, what is it that you're actually scared of if this doesn't go perfectly, and then working to loosen the fear up a little bit can then have impact on loosening some of the thoughts around the perfectionism. So that's, you know, if someone is really clinging on, that's one of the places that I might, again, depends on the full context and whatever, but that's definitely one of the places that I might go. Another place I might go is in the resistance archetypes, and there's like a little bit of judge, you know, that I heard you saying. So kind of looking, you know, going back to those tools and looking at it through that lens could be really helpful as well.
That makes sense. Thank you.
Some ideas?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Okay, good. Okay. Okay. I want to share one of my favorite exercises that I use a lot with myself. And with clients when it comes to perfectionism. And it's called Even Though Nevertheless. Even Though Nevertheless. So this is, I have found this exercise to be really excellent at supporting clients to move out of binary thinking, and also to support a growth mindset. Growth mindset is when we understand that the road to success or our goals or whatever it is always under construction. It is never perfect. We have never arrived. We will never arrive. It is just a becoming and a becoming. And becoming, you know, part of like perfectionism in culture is, and how it's come in through culture, is that there is also this myth of arrival, not just this myth of the perfect, but this, you know, once I get here, then the skies are going to open and everything is wonderful and I'm going to stay there forever, right? And if I can just be perfect enough, that's when it's going to happen. And of course, that's a myth as well, when we can get into this growth mindset, right? That it's, we're always learning, we're always getting better, we're not ever arriving, it can be so helpful. So anyway, Even Though Nevertheless supports moving out of the binary thinking and that myth of arrival, all of that. And what it is a complete the sentence exercise. Where first you say, so even though, and then you say the thing that you are, that's not going well. So even though, Penina, I'll give an example from my own life. Penina is my teenage daughter. Even though Penina and I butt heads a lot, we really do, it's really freaking hard. Even though Penina and I butt heads a lot, nevertheless, she shares and opens up with me. She calls on me when she needs me. Okay, so what did I just do in that sentence? I didn't pretend like the problem wasn't there. The moment we're like, oh, it's all good, right? Like then we're not back to creating awareness, and then we're not honoring what is, right? So the even though honors what is. What is that we butt heads a lot and it's hard and sometimes it's really painful, right? So it honors that, but we don't end the sentence there. Nevertheless, we look for pulling out of, like, well, since it's not the perfect, then it's a failure, right? What comes after the nevertheless is we look for the thing that pulls it into the real life. nevertheless, she does share with me and opens up with me sometimes, and she calls on me when she's in need. Now, the power of this exercise is to do it more than once. Usually you want to keep what's after the even though the same thing, and then find a couple of different neverthelesses. Even though Penina and I butt heads a lot, nevertheless, she is slowly learning that we need to have some rules in the house and that those things keep her safe, that they're good guardrails. Even though Penina and I butt heads a lot and it's really hard, nevertheless, I know that she is a confident young woman and she's someone who isn't afraid to speak her mind, and that is awesome, right? So I like to do a good 5, 7, 10 of these, each with a different nevertheless, again, to pull out of that myth of perfection, to pull out of that myth of arrival, to pull out of the binary thinking, and to land in real life, in that place between perfection and failure. I pause there. How does that land for you? What does that spark for you? What are you seeing in this exercise that feels important? Yes, it's very simple. Very, very simple. So again, it takes us out of, yeah, what Dave is saying, it honors what is, and Kelly, it takes us out of the failure zone into really honoring what didn't work and what did work, into that real life place. Yes, and it helps see the positives. So I have found that doing this exercise once is really helpful. And that doing this exercise every day for 5 days ties into everything we looked at with rewiring last week. And so if this lands for you over the next over the next 5 days, you'll be getting an email every day inviting you to do and even though nevertheless. So pick one situation that you want to work on this week, somewhere where you're applying perfection or black and white thinking. And the invitation is every day, do 5, 7, 10 of these. Share them in the Facebook group too, so we can kind of be in it together. I'm going to do it with all of you as well. And see how it goes and notice what doesn't shift or what does shift for you in it. Do not apply myth of perfection to this little 5-day challenge exercise. If you miss a day, don't give up, right? If you want to do it. If you don't want to do it, it's okay. But if you miss a day, don't decide that this was a failure. Just hop back on, right? And see how it goes. All right, let's see what's happening in the chat. Can I repeat some of the neverthelesses? Yeah, so even though Penina and I butt heads and it's really painful, nevertheless, she does share with me and opens up with me. And she asks me when she needs something. Even though Penina and I butt heads and fight and it's really hard, nevertheless, she is actually starting to get, which is miraculous, that sometimes rules are actually a good thing. Even though Penina and I butt heads a lot and it's really hard, nevertheless, I see that one of the reasons why we butt heads is that she is strong and confident, and I am so happy that she is strong and confident and can speak her mind to me. Okay. Vlada's saying it acknowledges both sides of a situation and leans towards focusing on the positive and then rewires, exactly. Ayana says this reframing makes my whole body relax. I'm so happy to hear it, yes. It really, And remember what we looked at last week with rewiring? Don't just write the words, feel the truth of the words. Make it involve your heart, involve your body. Don't just like do it as an exercise, but feel it. AJ says the repetition of the issue starts to take its power away. Yes, that is, yes, 100%. Yes, it will be interesting, good. It will be truly good enough to miss a day, absolutely. Okay. The other piece I just wanted to share, and I'll drop this now, and we'll look a little bit more at it next time if anybody has questions. You can do a befriend your fear process, but instead of dialoguing with the fear, you can dialogue, your client can dialogue with their inner perfectionist. So, and it is also just like a very beautiful process that supports the even though nevertheless the higher wisdom is gonna come from the inner perfectionist, the more you hold space for it. It supports the clients in the way that the befriend your fear process does and being regulated with the, even with the need to be perfect, it kind of pokes holes in it. So that's another, tool that you can use when myth of perfection comes up. A couple of you in the chat mentioned that sometimes, you know, AJ said, I come up as the anti-perfectionist. And in Rhonda's share, you were speaking to some of that too. And so I also just want to point that out, is that oftentimes the way that perfectionism can show up for us or for a client is in the exact opposite, in the slacker, in the sloth, in the lazy one, in the extreme mistake maker, in the sloppy one. It's almost, it's like that same kind of back and forth thing that I was talking about before. So you can use any of the tools, right? Mix and match tools that we're learning. You can use any of the tools to work with those. Maybe create awareness around your client's slacker or your client's mistake maker, and then do a version of the rewiring visualization with it, or a version of befriend your fear, or just ask questions, right? But you can kind of look at it that way too. But I just wanted to make sure I mentioned that, that sometimes perfectionism can show up as the exact opposite. All right, I know there was a lot to take in today, and you're going to be chewing on this and, you know, all of that. If you're working with a practice partner, the invitation is to pick one of the tools that we looked at today and work with that in your session. Go deeper with the what's come through today. And I hope you're gonna do the challenge. I'm gonna do it with you. So before we wrap, I'd love to hear from some of you. What are you taking away from our call today? And any questions that you have? What are you taking away? Oh, Barbara, you either do it or don't. Like you'll start getting the emails starting tomorrow, I believe, and hopefully you'll take me up on the invitation to do the even though nevertheless's. AJ's saying, I tend to hold others to a higher expectation than I hold myself. Yeah, my mess could never be perfect. Yeah, good. Janae is taking compassion and love. Good, so glad. Sophie is taking away that you can do this course imperfectly. That's right, that's right. Clarity and kindness, Alta, yes. Ayana is feeling a desire to perfectly stop being a perfectionist. Awesome. Well, I will see you all over the week. And if there's anything that you need, let me know. Talk to you soon.